Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, we've been looking at how the headlines of 2015 hit home. Today's look will break your heart. The opioid epidemic is certainly one of the top stories of 2015. New numbers from the CDC show that deaths from overdoses reached an all-time high of 47,000 in 2014, the latest figures available. And hospital neonatal intensive care units are seeing a corresponding rise in the number of babies born addicted. Now, a few years back, Vanderbilt researchers found that every 25 minutes a baby is born dependent on drugs. It's likely more now. Either born to addicts or to mothers taking opiates prescribed by doctors unaware of the consequences. Dr. Robert DiGiuseppe is a neonatologist at Coastal Carolina Neonatology at the New Hanover Regional Medical Center in Wilmington, North Carolina. And Doctor, we've seen pictures and videos. This is so disturbing. Infants born addicted.
We're seeing an upward trend in our neonatal intensive care units. We're seeing an upward trend on our pediatric floors. When we look at our numbers over the past 5 to 6 years, we've seen our numbers go from 50 admissions a year to over 100 admissions a year over the past year.
Wow. What does it look like and feel like when an infant is addicted?
Well, first, we really don't like to use, or I really don't like to use the term addicted when it comes to babies. Uh-huh. Addiction involves a behavior, a drug-seeking behavior, usually. And addiction, I mean, it's a real thing, and it's a disease, and it's something that people do need to obtain health for. But we like to say that our babies are dependent on opiates.
Well, in fact, it's a syndrome. It's neonatal abstinence syndrome.
Neonatal abstinence syndrome, and we use the letters N-A-S. But neonatal abstinence syndrome is the syndrome we call that describes the constellation of symptoms that go along with babies who are withdrawing from opiates. Mm. Babies become inconsolable. Babies cry and they're fussy. They have tremors. They have tightening of their muscles or increased tone, as we say. They feed poorly. They spit up. They have diarrhea. And in severe cases, they can even have seizures. Mm. So, I mean, this is something that really is a serious thing from a medical standpoint.
And it's important to point out that these are newborns of both addicts, you know, heroin addicts, and mothers who might be taking opiates prescribed by doctors for various reasons, not knowing that this is going to happen to their child.
Exactly. And even to moms that do understand what their babies are at risk for. And when you talk to ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, if a mom is addicted or dependent to opiates, the recommendation is for that mom to stay on opiates during her pregnancy. From a safety standpoint, it's been proven that the best thing for that mom is to get into a treatment program prescribed by a doctor that involves counseling also, and that counseling component is very important, and to stay on prescribed medication throughout the pregnancy.
And is the thinking that to tell a mom to go cold turkey would be far worse for the pregnancy?
Exactly. It's dangerous from a maternal health standpoint, but also we don't want moms drug seeking. We want to make sure that they're in a program where they are getting a consistent dosing of medication, where they're not going out on the street trying to put themselves at more high-risk behaviors, too. Yeah.
What an odd thing. You'd have to see, you know, almost supplying a pregnant mother about to give birth with the drugs she needs to keep her from going into some sort of detox herself so she can have the baby who's then born withdrawing from drugs.
Exactly. And it seems counterintuitive, but honestly, we see it as an opportunity where we can try to be involved in helping these moms recover.
Well, that raises a question some of us have. Some remember the horrible border baby crisis during the crack cocaine epidemic, in which hospitals suddenly had hundreds of babies. I remember one hospital had 400 babies that had been abandoned there by crack addicts because mm-hmm. they needed to go out and get their fix. So what happens to these moms? We know in Tennessee there's competing laws, one offering these mothers kind of a safe harbor. Another's a so-called fetal assault or harm law. Wisconsin and Alabama both have it as well, where a mother can be criminally prosecuted if her baby's born addicted. There's a bill in the North Carolina Senate that would criminalize drug use during pregnancy. So what's your thinking about that?
Well, for a mother that comes in and delivers a baby who is not currently in a program, and we determine that the mom was on opiates and that the baby was exposed during the pregnancy, we do have to notify social services because we need to make sure that the baby has a safe place to go home. But in North Carolina, it is not a felony. It's not something that we need to report to law enforcement if a mom tests positive while being pregnant. And that's really important. I think most neonatologists, most people that take care of babies would be against the prosecution of these moms because really we want to encourage pregnant women who are addicted to seek help. We want them to get prenatal care. It's a far riskier thing to not obtain the prenatal care that they need because honestly, our goal is for every baby to go home into a loving environment. And the most important place ideally is with their mom. So we're going to try to make that happen, but we're also going to make sure that the baby's safe before we send a baby home with a mom.
Again, during the border baby, and it, by the way, it was B-O-A-R-D-E-R, border baby crisis, because they were living in hospitals because these moms, these addicts abandoned them there. People had to come in to literally sit and rock the babies. There was just no way to care for them. I understand that you also have volunteers who come in to help the babies.
We do, and honestly, our volunteers are a very important part of our unit. So for a baby going through withdrawal, from a medical standpoint, how you treat withdrawal is to give an opiate. And some babies, more than half of our babies, do require treatment with an opiate. And what we use in the neonatal intensive care unit is morphine. And we dose a baby with morphine, and it's as the withdrawal symptoms get less intense, we're able to wean that morphine down over time, and then a baby eventually could go home. But a very important part of the care for these babies as they're experiencing withdrawal is what we call the non-pharmacologic care, so the non-medical treatment of these babies. And that involves just attention, caring for these babies, rocking them, soothing them. Really, that is just as important as the medicine that we can give. Yeah. The ideal person to provide that care is the mother. But a lot of times, the mother can't be here for whatever reason. And we have volunteers that have been trained to rock babies, and we call them cuddlers is what we call them. And they'll go from room to room, and honestly, they're a more important part of this baby's overall medical care than I am. They're providing that nonstop care where I spend minutes in a room with a baby most days. They can spend hours and giving that baby truly what that baby needs.
I'm sure in just about every major city, if anybody looked to see if they could do that, that it would be needed in other cities as well. It's quite something. What do you expect to happen for these babies? You're not calling it an addiction. Does this mean that they're damaged for life?
Well, there's really been no proof from when we look at long-term studies. There's no proof that there's any long-term, at least developmental problems that these babies will have long-term. There's some reports of higher incidence of attention problems, so things like ADHD, but it's hard to tell. It's not proven that that's related to the actual opiate exposure. There are environmental factors, there are genetic factors that could account for that.
Yeah. There's a lot of discussion about how much this costs, $60,000 to $80,000 to care for these babies as opposed to $4,000 or $5,000, you know, if they're birthed in a hospital and sent home. Some have even suggested sending mothers home with, you know, liquid morphine to treat them. And then the debate over that is that's insane. You're sending home an addict with, you know, a bottle of an opiate. But your thoughts on that? How draining is this on the hospital resources? But I would imagine, maybe even more important for you, how draining is it emotionally?
There is a high cost, financial cost, to the institutions when caring for this population of babies. And that was honestly one of our main drivers for improving our care for these babies was to reduce their length of stay in the hospital. We've reduced our average length of stay for babies with neonatal abstinence syndrome from 25 days to about 15 days over the past 2 years. And that has saved well over $500,000 in 2015 in and of itself. But, you mentioned the emotional toll and the emotional cost, and it's hard. Any baby can be emotionally tough for a nurse, a physician, a volunteer. But when you see a baby that seems to be inconsolable and crying, a drug-exposed baby, there seems to be an added layer to that emotional upset that the medical team and staff can have. And as hard as it is to take care of babies withdrawing off of opiates, we're very careful to withhold judgment on these moms because we can't begin to imagine what it's like to walk in some of these addicts' shoes.
Because addiction is a disease.
Addiction is a disease, and especially for these women. It's rooted in a history of abuse most of the time, and that's sexual, physical, emotional. We look at this as an opportunity. And if anybody's ever going to be motivated to turn their life around, to change, the birth of a baby could be that moment. And we try to say, you know, you're going to be with us for 2-3 weeks sometimes, and we're going to try to be that positive influence, and we're going to try to get you the help you need to be able to turn your life around and try to make you the best mother that you can be.
That's Dr. Robert DiGiuseppe. He's a neonatologist at the New Hanover Regional Medical Center in Wilmington, North Carolina. His practice, Coastal Carolina Neonatology. Doctor, thanks and best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk.